Okay, everybody, we're up to mitzvah 15. 15 is a very special number with regards to Pesach. As I showed in my Haggadah, the number 15 is all over the place in the Pesach Haggadah. Okay, places that are pretty obvious, the 15 Dayenus, the Kama Ma'alos, like there are 15 Shira Ma'alos. There are 15 sections of the Kadesh or Chatz, there are 15 of those. Of course, the festival takes place on the 15th of the month, and with the full moon, and so that's just a side point. Okay, so shelo lo tzi mi besar haPesach chutza. Now the pasuk says lo totzi min habayis min habasar chutza. Right, don't take the korban Pesach out of the house. Right, lo sotzi min habayis min habasar chutza. Now, why did you have to say chutza and bayis? Right, so we're going to see some very interesting Tanaic opinions about the scope of this mitzvah. Right, you know the halacha once you start eating the korban Pesach, it's not a sukkah hop. All right, it's not. Tell me, how is your goat? I have lamb. What do you think? Right. The Korban Pesach is a different mahus between the holidays. Allow me to begin with just an agadah where the Gemara in Arachin, and Tainus also, asks why we say a full Hallel throughout all of Sukkos, but on Pesach, we only after the first day, we start with a half a Hallel. Right? When most people try to answer that question, they start talking about drowning Egyptians, right? Egyptians drowned, so we shouldn't be saying the full Hallel. We have to curtail our simcha. But that's not the answer the Gemara gives. Right? Anyone remember why does the Gemara say that we say a half Hallel on Pesach?
The same Karbonot.
Correct. Because on Pesach, it's the same Karbonot. Every day when you daven Musaf on Chol HaMoed Pesach, it's the same, you're saying the same paragraph every day. But on Sukkos, you have to know what day of Sukkos is it to change the, right, to change the. First of all, what does that have to do with anything? So what? Because it's the same carbon, my simcha is curtailed? What does that even mean? Right? But that is the answer the Gemara gives. By the way, there's a Tshuva Sarashba. Someone asked him this question, and he actually writes the Tshuva. He records the tshuva, but then he responds with guile. He says, I just want you to know, I'm not in the habit of accepting questions that are asked by the Gemara. That's not my purpose. If you want to know what the Gemara says, go look at the Gemara. My purpose in writing responsa is where the answer to the question is not clear from the Gemara. All right. Anyway, so he only gives the Gemara's answer. But all of a sudden, starting with the Beis Yosef and a medrash called Medrash Harninu and the Shibole Haleket and then the Taz and then all the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah, everyone gets in on the act that the reason for the half Hallel has to do with drowning Egyptians. Okay? So this is why I'm beginning this with this Agadita, is that the Gemara explains this as a function of the Karbonos. And these Mefarshim are not introducing another explanation. They're explaining what the Gemara means with its Korban connection. Have you ever heard of a Medrash that says what all the 70 Korbanos of Sukkos are about? Every year, why do we have, if you have 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, adds up to 70. Why, what?
70 nations.
Correct. The 70 nations of the world, the Medrash in Bamidbar Rabbah says, if they knew what they were ruining for the world by destroying our Beis HaMikdash, they would have protected it. So the Korbanos of Sukkos are meant to be for the nations of the world. But as we're reading through these mitzvahs, we see that while Sukkos may be like a universalistic kind of holiday, Fro Salenu Sukkah Shilomecha, after all, on the first day of the Haftorah of Sukkos, we read about how Zechariah invites all the Goyim to join us in the Sukkah. Remember all that material, the Gemara at the beginning of Maseches Avodah Zarah, where Hashem invites the Goyim to engage in the mitzvah of Sukkah. Sukkah is a universalistic kind of holiday, while Pesach is anything but. Kol ben echor lo yochal bo, right? Kol Orel lo yochal bo, Bevayis Echod yeochel, right? It's only Kol Adas Yisrael Yasuo. So it's very particularistic, the observance of Pesach. So this mitzvah of Shelo Lahutzi Mibsar HaPesach Chutza is part of this, right? Every Shelo in Sukkah always has something called a Sukkah Hop. Come and visit your Sukkah, come to my Sukkah. Not on Pesach. People don't do a Seder Hop. I don't know, maybe you do, but usually not. All right? It's fine to invite all kinds of company at the Seder, but it's that you have to register in advance. And it has to be something that you take seriously. You can't just, the Erev Pesach, all of a sudden, I'll wait till the last minute to find a place to have a Korban Pesach. Well, we shouldn't treat the Seder like that either. It's already time to make your arrangements for the Seder now. Or at least wait till the right after Purim. Okay, so this is some of the philosophical notions behind this element of not moving the Korban Pesach from one place to another. Okay. By the way, the Rambam paskins that one Korban Pesach can be divided into two chaburas, as long as it was registered that way. Once they start eating, though, they can't move from one to the other. Right? You are allowed to have two chaburas in one house or in one big ballroom in a hotel. Of course, after the Beis Hamikdash is built, and then we're all eating Korban Pesach, but You can't mix from one table to another. Once you start eating, and we'll see in the chinuch that the Avera starts once you start eating. Before you start eating, the Avera doesn't start yet. Was anyone here who's listening at the daf this past Sunday? Anyone here doing the daf yomi, right? Remember the daf this past Sunday, Lenny? You heard me say it, right? So some of the issues there I mentioned are consistent with what we're doing here. And a line came up in the Gemara where Rav Ami attempted to compare this mitzvah to the mitzvah of carrying on Shabbos, right? It says in the Torah, don't take it out on Shabbos. And it says, don't take out the Korban Pesach. So maybe, just maybe, some of the rules of Hotzah here is consistent with the rules of Hotzah there. Now, this Hotzah is a din in Achila. So how much Korban Pesach do you take out of the house to violate? What do you think?
Kezias.
Kezias. How much are you not supposed to carry on Shabbos, though? It's a trick question. You have to do the eighth perek called Hamotzi Yayin. Actually, there was a Yanim start at the end of the seventh parak, right. And also parak Hamatznia.
Right, it varies by what you're carrying, right?
Varies by what you're carrying, and what do they all have in common? It has to be a dover choshev for that thing. But the default position for carrying, if it's food, is not a kezias, but bigger than that, what the Gemara calls
a grogros or something?
A grogeris, yeah. So if there's no other Indian that Gemara mentions, so the default position is you're not supposed to carry a grogeris of food. So here is a very interesting question. Let's say the first night of Pesach is a Friday night. And outside of your house, where you're eating the Korban Pesach, is a Rishus HaRabim Mamash Doraisa. When Yerushalayim was, because obviously you can only eat the Korban Pesach in Yerushalayim, and the Gemara speaks of Yerushalayim as a Rishus HaRabim Doraisa. How much Korban Pesach do you have to take out of the house in order to violate Shabbos, considering that Korban Pesach is a food? You see the kasha?
Yeah.
So what do you think it is? What takes over?
A kezias. What's a chila? Because that's what's chashev for a Korban Pesach, right?
For Korban Pesach, it's now that the chiyuv becomes maybe less. It's a chumrah. If you carry out some of the matzah and the maror, then that's not, maybe not a, there's no din not to carry out the matzah and the maror. But there's a special din of this Torah gave chashivas to shalola hotzi mi b'sara pesach chutzah, and that's a food. And this mitzvah may actually make quite a bit of a chiddush. Right? Now, I wouldn't limit this chakira to Shabbos. Why not Yontif? Because you're allowed to carry on Yontif. Not so fast. There's a machtzis ha-shekel in the laws of Rosh Hashanah that warns everybody. Do not carry bread to throw in the water at Tashlich. Because if you carry a kezias of bread to throw in the water, you're chayav malkus, mama, she says, for carrying shalola tzorch klal. Because carrying, in order to be over on baltashchis, possibly a chil Hashem also, carrying in order to not fulfill a mitzvah is not allowed on yontif. Carrying mitoch shehutra letzorech ochal nefesh, hutra shalol letzorech ochal nefesh. But not shalol letzorech klal. It has to be a tzorech, a tissue, a key, a book, a child or something. But to carry for no purpose at all can possibly violate yontif. Remember the Gemara in Makkos that lists one person doing one thing on yontif and he's violating seven different averos? So one of them was carrying on yontif, but it wasn't letzorech. All right, so why did I limit this to Shabbos? Yontif too. If someone carries the Korban Pesach outside the house, it has to be Shelo Litzorech. Why? Because he's making an Avera by doing that. What Tzorech can it possibly be? Except maybe for Pikuach Nefesh, for someone who's dying of hunger right outside, and the only food you have for him is the Kezias from the Korban Pesach.
But he can't eat
right? Well, for Pikuach Nefesh, ostensibly you can. I'm just saying. Right, so, but carrying part of the Korban Pesach outside of the house on Yontif can ostensibly violate Yontif also, in addition to violating this mitzvah. You get it? Because carrying is only allowed for le'ezot tzorech, not for averos.
Right.
You get it? What I did with the machtzis ha-shekel with the tashlich is similar to this.
Let me ask you a question. If you were carrying, like you're going to the hospital, there are people in the hospital that can't get it, you want to bring it to them, are you allowed to carry for that?
Robbie, that's tzorech, of course. If you're talking yontif now, yeah, of course. It's tzorech. I'm talking shalol tzorech. Shalol tzorech would be, carrying something that's doing an avera. The avera is wasting food or in the case of the machtzis ha-shekel I mentioned before, that's a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. And
is Erev on Shabbos basically the same halacha as carrying on Yontif? It's got the same parameters?
Yes, but just on Yontif, if it's shalol letzorech klal, yes.
Right.
So the time we are not supposed to violate this is Yontif.
Right.
It could also be Shabbos. Now, the chiddush of that we're saying here is that since Rav Ami asked on this past Sunday's daf on Daf Pei Hei, and Rav Ami said, it says Lo Totzi in Pesach, it says Lo Totzi in Shabbos, so maybe the two halachas are the same. So what's another chiddush there? And then we'll go inside and read some of this inside. The other chiddush is that on Shabbos, you don't violate carrying from one rishus to another unless you make an akira in one rishus and a hanocha in the other. You pick it up in the rishus ha-yachid and you put it down in the rishus ha-rabim. By the way, if that's what you do, you don't even have to, it doesn't have to be four amos. First Mishnah Masechet Shabbos talks about putting it right outside the window.
Right.
So if you can't pick it up, but you have to have an akira in one with the intention at the time of the akira to put it down in the other. That's why if you're walking in Mamash or Rishus HaRabim Daraisa and you realize your wallet is in your pocket, you did violate, the Gemara said, Chayav Odo Mamash Meish Begado, check your pockets, look around. All right, you didn't do that. Okay, you should feel bad. It's Misasek, and then the one Misasek for which we should feel bad. But don't just throw out the wallet where you are. Keep walking, because you did not do an Akira L'Shem Hotzah. But if you stop, then starting to walk again will be a new Akira. So don't stop. Just keep going. All right? So to hear, maybe, says Rav Ami, that in order to violate this mitzvah, you have to do an akira in one chabura, and then mamash put it down and make a hanocha in the other chabura. Okay, let's start. Okay, also, this is the first time that the chinuch is going to suggest that the din of chati shir osim in a Torah, which he loves, that's like the MO of the Minchas Chinuch, is to discuss chati shir in almost every one of the mitzvahs. But here is where he posits for the first time that chati shir osim in a Torah, get this, is limited to eating. Eating. Right? Now, the fact is, this is not a chiddush of the chinuch. The Gemara talks about writing one letter here and then writing another letter there, even though, you know, stitching one here and stitching one there. But there has to be some kind of tziruf, right? There has to be some kind of a, you know, if I eat half a kezias, right? So that can mitzdarif with another half a kezias within a certain amount of time, obviously. But if I do a half of a kezias of katsira here, and then a half of a shear of katsira here, and then a half of a shear of katsira someplace else, or I carry a half of a grogeris now, and then a half hour later I carry half a grogeris, we're going to have to figure out how does that mitzdarif. There's two different.
So, for example, bayurai, bayumatze. Is there a certain amount of chametz that you have to have in order
to
do that?
No.
Okay.
No. That's why the Shulchan Aruch says, "Ovrin b'taruvus chametz mishum bayurai bayumatze."
So it's not like a half a kezias and half a kezias would be relevant to that.
Right. No. Because bayurai, but for achila, yes, and that's why he says. He says over in Mishum Bayamara by Rabbi Matzah, because to be over on not eating chametz is impossible with a taruvus chametz.
Right? So if you carry under the amount that you can't carry, but you do it 10 times, is that okay?
In other words, an eitzah. This might be a simpler eitzah for that, Robbie, is to walk less than 4 amos.
No, but I'm saying if you had to walk more than 4 amos and you figure, you know what, I can only carry this, but I can go back 10 times and get it there.
Yeah. The Gemara discusses some of these eitzahs, like handing it over to another person and to another person.
Or like wearing clothes out when there's a fire or stuff like
that. Yeah. Okay, let's start with number one. Shalola Hutzi. I am Psachim Periketzad Solin. That's this Sunday and Monday's daf. It's great when this kind of stuff happens. Rambam Perek Tes Mikorban Pesach. Zeh Lashon HaRambam BeHalacha Aleph. Hamotzi Kezayis Basa Mechabura LaChabura B'Leil Tesvav Loke. And he says, he doesn't say Mibayis LaBayis. He just says Mechabura LaChabura because you can violate it from your living room to your dining room.
As long as the two tables in the same room.
Yeah.
Right.
As long. Yeah, now the Gemara did say, if you recall, that you shouldn't do that because like the mission in Chulin, when you have someone eating cheese and someone eating meat, one right next to the other, and they're good friends, he might just say, you know, hey, let me see what that tastes like. So you should put up a mechitza between them.
Okay. Oh, yes, right.
Okay, there should be some kind of when something is very common to happen, like quickly and naturally, the halacha will want us to create a safeguard. Right. Okay, I'm not sure if this came up. It's a Tosfos and Beitza, if this came up once before, but Tosfos and Beitza wonders why we're allowed to, that if a Gentile opened lit a candle for himself to read, that I can read by that light. Remember the story at the end of Kol Kisvei? Shmuel was reading a Sefer, and it was dark. And then a goy opened the light for him just to be nice to him. And he says, "Ach, rats, now I have to leave." So then he saw the goy reading a star. So he says, "Oh, hadaita d'nafshe ka'ovid, now I can read." So Taisfis on that Gemara asks, why is he allowed to read? Aren't we worried that if we let this Jew read, that he might come to light the fire himself. So the Gemara says that no, because by the time he would make the full effort to get the candle lit, he will remember that it's Shabbos. Right? As opposed to, let's say, he compares it to two other gzeros, that if you allow someone to eat a fruit that fell from the bottom of a tree, even if it fell before Shabbos, you can't eat that fruit because you may come to pick another one. And you can't drink the juice from a whole cluster, of a large cluster of grapes that where the juice oozed out of it on Shabbos, because then you may come to squeeze more fruit. So why aren't we worried that this person will light the fire? The answer Tosfos gives is what I just said, is that by the time he goes through the big effort of lighting a candle, whatever had to be done then to do that, he'll remember that it's Shabbos. So then the Ber Moshe of Moshe Stern, the Ber Moshe says then today, since a light comes by just a flick of a switch, so today he says, he argues that a light switch, and I think there's one room that we can all agree in our houses where we tend to leave a light on in this room, you should have some kind of cover on that light. And I'm talking about the bathroom. How many times? I mean, maybe once every few years, maybe, where you know you left the light on, and then you come out in the morning and you say, where how'd that light get off? And you don't even remember doing it, right? But if you have that cover,
night fairy.
Yeah, if you have that cover on it, and then you reach for it, and you say, oh, that cover, oh, yeah, it's Shabbos. Oh, my goodness, well, almost, what did I do? Yeah. Right? So that's an interesting thing, because usually you don't have to go out of your way to make sure you don't do an Avera unless the Avera is common. Mm-hmm. All right? So, okay, so let's see what he says here. So if you're in the same house, so it's so simple and so easy to just walk over the other room and see what they're eating there and eat some of their Korban Pesach and violate this, so you have to put up a mechitza. Ube'emes rebu sehi, delo mibaya b'motzi chutz labayis, v'adei over b'lav zeh, demefurish b'kra lo sutzimen abayis. So what the Rambam says, that this, obviously, if you take it out of the house, but the extra lashon chutza, right, chutz mima, right, chutz min abayis, right? So that's a little extra verbiage there. Right? So delo mibaya b'motzi chutz labayis, v'adei over b'lav zeh. Mefurish b'kra lo sutzimen abayis ela afilu b'bayis echad rak michabura lechabura gam kein over, says the Rambam, even within the same house, zedashinan mitevas chutza chutz laachilaso, not just chutz from the bayis, chutz from your chabura, your achila. Okay. All right, but then he says aval ikar demeforish b'kra hu bayis. But the pshat of min habayis chutza means chutz from what? Chutz min habayis. That's a feminine word. Achila is also a feminine word, but the pshat is chutz min habayis. Okay? The Rambam does not discuss this, but usually when something is so far from the pshat, then the Rambam discusses whether that person can get malchus or not, because it's not meforish b'kra. Mm-hmm. But that's not part of this discussion. Okay. V'inei das Rambam k'Rav Yehuda. The Pesach nocha b'shtei chaburas. I mentioned this at first, so I'm just going to gloss over this, is that the one Pesach can be divided amongst two different groups as long as that's how they registered. But once they start eating in the two different places, so the chinuch says, this is a bit of a chiddush, the chinuch compares, look at the end of this paragraph, the number two. I think I wrote kfiyus lezimun. Is that appear in your thing? Okay. So it says, v'dami k'tzas lahi debrachas perakeitzad mevorchim daf mem beiz amid beiz. Im amru nezel v'nechol lachma beduch plan. Then that means that they have made a kfiyus to eat and they should not separate unless they'll remain with a mezumin. Right, you know, remember saying shlosh shachlu keechod, einan rasha'in lecholik, not allowed to separate. So what he wants to say, that absent any Gemara and Psachim on the topic, I think it's the same.
What if it's one chabura, but they kind of split up, right? It's one chabura, but they split up.
Describe it further. What we mean, like you're in one big dining room, a ballroom in a hotel?
You had one minui on the korban, right, with like 10 people, I don't know, 20 people, right? And when you actually went to eat the Pesach, right, you did it as 5 and 5.
So that could be like this second paragraph here, the two chaburas out of the same Pesach. That's Shitas Rabbi.
Right.
No, but can you have between the 2 5 within the same chabura?
But it's really the same chabura, right? Because the chabura is established by the minui.
This is true.
Right? So if I eat, right, if I'm part of a chabura and I don't eat, but somebody else in the chabura eats, I'm still yotzei, right?
Right, so the chiddush of the lashon of the extra verbiage is that if those 10 people decided to eat in two different houses, then what the end of paragraph 2 here is saying that as soon as they said nezel v'nechol in this house, and they said nezel v'nechol in this house, they become two different chaburas.
But if it's in the same house but two different rooms, is that like two different houses? I mean, is that
yeah.
So if you're on a Pesach program and the main dining room has the Pesach, and then you have your own separate room for your chevra, and so people go to there and then they bring it into their room. Is that an
very
issue?
Interesting. Yeah, very interesting. And I imagine that if the animal, you know, Korban Pesach can be up to 1 year old. It's not a big animal, but still, it's more than for six people, right? That's a lot of meat. So the hotels will register people separately, and one Pesach can be for 10 different groups, and you take it to your own place, and that becomes your chabura.
But if one person
registered that way.
But if one person starts eating it from a different chabura, how do you take it then? Don't you have a problem when once someone starts to eat it?
Well, ostensibly, people used to get only a kezias of the Korban Pesach. It's not like you had to dole out so much. Korban Pesach no chalal hasova. Korban Pesach was afikoman. It was a dessert. It wasn't your dinner. The dinner was your chagigas, your dalet. The dinner was a pastrami sandwich from the local delicatessen. But the Korban Pesach was your dessert. The reason for that is that we wanted to make sure that people do not eat the Korban Pesach hungry, because then you might break a bone. If you're just giving everybody a small little kezias, there's not going to be any nosar. They're just eating, the straight meat. They'll devour it all, and that's it. So that was that. That's the reason for doing that. Okay, let's look at number 3. Vinei halav hazeh dehotzah min hachabura o min habayis hu rak b'leil tesvav. Okay, that's obvious. I'm not going to have to. I don't think we need to elaborate on this. If someone, you don't double up on this mitzvah with nosar or anything else, it has to be like the etzem losish berubo. If a korban pesach became tamei and then I broke the bones, I didn't violate the breaking the bones because it's not a korban pesach. It's like the rule of meila. In order to be chayav in meila, everything else about the korban has to be on the up and up. So hashover b'tamei lo avar. You get it? Someone breaks the bone of a tumadik a korban pesach. It's not a korban pesach,
right?
Okay. So and the same thing is with the zman. It's only the time during the time that the korban pesach can be eaten. Okay, b'leil tesvav.
But if you say that, let's assume 10 people were 10. Like I just gave you the thing at a hotel, and 10 people went off to their own siddur. If the fifth person broke a bone, how does that affect the rest of the chevra there?
No, the broken bone of the Pesach is like eating osova espino, right? If I shecht a cow and it's young on the same day, both animals maintain their kashrus. There's no pagam in the animals. I just did an avera. Sometimes you do an avera with an animal that is a disqualifier, but breaking the bone of the Korban Pesach doesn't harm yours or anyone else's. Okay?
I thought you said it's not considered a Korban Pesach then if you break
it. No. If something else was wrong with this Korban Pesach, someone made a tame or something like that, or the Kohen who slaughtered it made it pigul, then breaking the bone is not obviously not a problem because it's not a real Korban Pesach.
Okay.
All right. Turn the page to let's look at number 5, the bottom there, you see. Okay, all right, that's just the number 5 is just, I want to start covering a little more ground. Number 5 just says that if you have mechitzas, you have to make mechitzas in between the groupings. It has to be a kosher mechitza. It has to be, it's not like a sukkah mechitza. It has to be like a real mechitza, like for between men and women in a shul. Okay? All right, okay, simple enough. Let's see number 6, shi'ura. What's the shi'ur? After gabe shi'ur hotzas ochlin gabe shabbos hu kegrogeres, right? I said this on the outside before, everybody?
Yeah.
Right? Even though when it comes to Shabbos, the default position for food is not to carry a grogeres. Ayin shas Shabbos, ayin vavam and beis, v'rambam perik ches mi Shabbos halacha aleph. Avokan shi'ur hotza hi kezayis. But when it comes to the Korban Pesach, it's now a davar chashuv becomes a kezayis for the Korban Pesach because it's a din in achila. Okay.
Ayin Rambam.
Ostensibly, when we're carrying on Shabbos, carrying food on Shabbos, I mean, what else is we carrying for? You're carrying it to eat it. Right, so why is the shear the default position for food on Shabbos a grogeres? Because I'll tell you, it's like this. It's like the reason why we say that to be a makam chashuv, it's not three tefachim, it's 4 tefachim. Right, 3 tefachim is like the shear of lavud, is where things connect. If you want to be a davar chashuv, it's got to be more than 3 tefachim. So if you want to be a davar chashuv to violate Shabbos and its food, it's got to dafka be more than a kezayis. What's the next shear past the kezayis? So that's a grogeres, fine. A grogeres is a dried date. A koseves is a fresh date. The shear of what we're not supposed to eat in Yom Kippur is a koseves, a larger than a grogeres. Okay, weiter. So he's making a chiddush here. Aval kan shirotzahu kezayis. Ain Rambam Khan halacha aleph. For Rava Machaber, lo gila dato kama shashir. The Sefer Achinuch did not express how much of the Korban Pesach we're not supposed to carry outside the house. The Kesef Mishnah lo herama koma din. The Kesef Mishnah, who usually would do such a thing, did not tell us where the Rambam got this halacha that it's a kezayis that you're not supposed to take out of the Korban Pesach. Ve'ein lahavi raya mipsachim pehe amad aleph demavur sham di ispe kezayis v'leka kebeitza ayin sham. Because that was an Indian in Tuma. Right? Remember that at the end of the daf there? Sham mairi im ochal hayotze delokin mishum ze dichsiv lashon ubasor basodet trefa lo tochelu. You remember I brought this in the beginning of the daf that I started on Sunday. I mentioned various cases where something left its place and then it has like a din of trefa. Because the Torah says, basar basodeh trefa. Give you some examples like the animal that stuck its hand out of its mother when the mother was being shechted. So only the part of the animal that's in the mother is covered by the shechita. That piece that's sticking out is not. So it becomes like Avim and Achayim. You have to cut it off. That part, it's a big chiddush. That's part of the same animal because the Gemara calls it treif. Part of the same animal is kosher and from the arm out is treif. How can you have that? The animal is all one piece.
But right? If it's alive, how would you even shecht?
No, you have to mark off how much of the animal came out.
But yes, how are you going to kill it?
And then you have to, after you shecht the young, that part of the animal is forbidden.
No, but wouldn't it be alive?
Yeah, or if
and then you shecht
alive. Then, yeah, when you shecht that animal, that from that point on is not kosher. Or the animal was found dead in its mother. Okay, an animal found dead in its mother after the mother is shechted is like a piece of the kidney, it's like a piece of the liver. Right, it's kosher. So, but if it stuck something out, and that, remember that's how the daf began, if you recall, on Sunday, where that's so crazy. Where some of the Korban Pesach,
right, left, say, when I had the wall of Yerushalayim,
right, some of the kachim, any kachim, was past the wall of Yerushalayim, and some didn't. So the part that passed the wall of Yerushalayim, you have to cut off in kolef, and the part that was inside remains as it was. Okay, so. All right, so remember I told you this last week. The Minchas Chinuch is real minimalist when it comes to kezayises. He says, look at the, I underlined it. It says, T'chol makom she'ein anu motzim shi'ur meforash stamahu b'kezayis. If you don't see a shi'ur meforash, remember the Gemara in Erevin that says how each one of the seven minim is a different type of shi'ur, right? Remember? All kinds of different things. Right. So if it doesn't have a special limud as such, then the default shear is going to be a kezayis. Okay, afilu below lav da achila, even if there's no eating involved. Okay, that's pretty b'kiddush. After roi lomar, even the shavel l'shabes le'inyan akira v'hanocha. Even though Rav Ami, that's at the end. Remember pay on the hay on the days. Even though Rav Ami says that in order to violate the iser of hotsa'as korban pesach mechabura lachabura, it has to be similar to hotsa'as ezer davar b'shabbos involving an akira and a hanacha. However, here he argues that the shear would be a kezayis, and the chiddush I mentioned earlier is that if the first night of Pesach is Shabbos, then the shear of how much korban pesach you shouldn't be taking out goes to what the Gemara says, that whatever the davar chashav is, that's the amount that violates Shabbos. So it becomes a kezayis.
What can we didn't get it? We didn't do this, but does the chinuch say what the point of this mitzvah is? Not to take it out.
Yeah. So I that's why I mentioned the agadita in the beginning about the difference between Sukkos and Pesach, because Pesach is meant to be a very like sort of a parochial kind of stick within the family. It's not a let's see what you got. It's sort of a, you know, it's a
we're home with the family tonight.
Yeah. It's family night. Sukkah, that's what I use the very balabatisha, you know, that we do sukkah hops, but people don't usually do seder hops.
Right? You could also argue that, right, one shot name of Tirna Achar Pesach Afipoman, and that's Achar Pesach, right? It's a little different, but one shot is that you shouldn't go sort of and do these epic homazins, which was kind of like going from chabura to chabura.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's one and the same.
That it's somewhat related to this. It's
absolutely.
The kiyum in the
absolutely, it's one and the same. In fact, at the end, the Minchas Chinuch talks about that same Mishnah where the Mishnah refers to people who fall asleep, right? You fall asleep at the end of the Seder, and the Mishnah says that if everybody falls asleep, that's like being like a hotzah. You're motzi midei. You can't finish. You can't eat the afikoman if everybody falls asleep.
Right.
A bit of a chiddush. So, okay. Let's see number seven. Yimotzi pachos michashir. Oh, Minchas Chinuch loves pachos michashir. Everything is chatzi shir. Every, you know, this new edition of the Minchas Chinuch that has the little notes on the side of what his topics are. Everyone, you can always see chatzi shir. Yimotzi pachos michashir. Im yesh isur Torah, dino kimo kol chatzi shir she'eno me isurei achila. Right. So this is where he posits the idea that when Rav Yochanan said at the end of Maseches Yuma, Chatzi Shir Asim in the Torah, he was talking about violating Yom Kippur by eating. But the Chinuch says, I'm not so sure that this is always going to be consistent, even in something that's not eating. Let's see what he means. D'yeish achronim sovrim she'eno rak midrabanan. That Chatzi Shir, if it's not food, is not chayav, is not Asim in the Torah. Of course, we can. The Rabbanim can make gedarim anytime they want, but the chatzi shir that's also in the Torah is only on achila. Vayein chacham tzvi simin pevav. Dogomir vavar chaim zanan magen avram. V'yesh sovrim shehu min haTorah. Ayin primogodim, etc., etc., that even if it's not a chila, all right, that it may be asum min haTorah. V'im hotzi pachos pachos michashir. And if he keeps taking out a quarter of a kazayas, then another quarter of a kazayas, another quarter, and then he adds them all up in one place in a kli or something, and he puts it in styrofoam them together, right? Ayidei tziruf yesh kazayas, and then they all adds up a kazayas. Vaday mitstaref afilu biyosem michdei achilas pras, because it's not a din in achila here, it's a din in gathering altogether, taking the kazayas of the Karban Pesach out of its place. And you violated it. Who cares if you did it all at once? Idea that
the kli is mitzaref. The kli can be mitzaref.
Yeah, mistama. Right? To be isurin, chutz me isuri achila, lo shayach achilas pras. Umitzaref afila biyoseh bishir zeh. Yeah, that makes sense. It's only achila. Why? Because the digestive system has to be in on the definition of what's called eating. Right? So the digestive system has a shear of what's considered eating. But when it comes to violating the Torah by taking pieces of Korban Pesach out of its place, what difference does it make how much time it takes? As long as it's with, then to go back to what we did earlier, as long as it's still Leil Tesvav. In other words, within the time that you can still eat the Korban Pesach, I was mitzaref a few different times to take out altogether a kazayis. Right? The bisurin chutz me isuri achila lo shayach achilas pras mitzaref afila biyosem mechashir zeh. V'chein hadin gabi Shabbos. Mishnah shleima b'Shabbos. Kuf heyam ad aleph. Kosav osachas. I gave you this example before, right? Kosav osachas shachris. Vosachas bin arbayim. Right? Dafka b'shtei halamos potrim chachanim. The sovereign yeshidi alachasi shir, because he wouldn't mistarif because it was half a shir now and half a shir later, but it was two different states of unawareness, right? But Kamash Malan says the Chinuch that if he did it fully intending for this letter to join to that letter, right? Dafka shtei b'shtei halamos potrim chachanim. The sovereign yeshidi alachasi shir. Therefore, if it's in one state of unawareness where he didn't forget in the middle, then no tzah, it can mitzaref, and in like in writing, it can mitzaref. Okay, the chede achilas pras hu ba'achila b'lo b'shar dvarim v'zehu pashut. That's obvious, he says. Okay. So now he comes up with this chiddush. Vayein prima gadim. You see, I put a check there, I think, right on top of the eight. Vayein prima gadim hilchos Shabbos bepsicha akolelus mesupak leinyan shar melachos shal Shabbos kigon ktsiro chedome imein chatzi shir arishon kayam im chayav al chatzi shir hasheni. So this is what the prima gadim is saying, that if you want half a kazayas of ktsira to be mitzarif with half a kazayas of the other ktsira, then the first katsira better be, the first half of the kazayas of katsira better be there. Whatever the shear is and what we're doing, it has to be something I can put together to the other thing. If I stitch one stitch here and then one stitch there on two different things, then of course it's not a malacha. But if I stitch one stitch on this sweater and then an hour later stitch another stitch after that on the same sweater, and an hour later stitch another, then maybe those can be started. Right, that's pashut.
What is he talking about katsira? What does that mean?
Katsira means harvesting a half a shear of whatever the violation is.
Okay.
Vayein Shabbos Tadak Aleph Amud Aleph. This is already now in Perek Hamatznia. Iboi beGemara Zorak Kazayas Truma Lebayis Tomei. Ichayav al hotza Shabbos avdu pachos mikud grogeres, kiven du chashiv leinyan tuma. Wow. Okay. So, right, for chulin it has to be a kibetza. They didn't ask about a kibetza because a kibetza is more than a grogeres, but the kazayas is less than a grogeres. So that was our question we said before. We know the answer to this already. If it's a davar chashuv for one thing, it then it becomes a davar chashuv for Shabbos too. Right? Okay. It's a chashuv linyan tuma. I am sham b'tosfus. Right? Rama perik yudches mihichos Shabbos halacha chavzayin amagid mishnah. Mishnah melech sham. Uboi lemifshat mehod lechem aponim mushtei alechem shi'uron b'otza Shabbos kegrogeres after le'inyan yotzei u'b'kizayis. Ooh, how about that? Right? So let's say you know the lechem aponim, right? Those 12 breads.
Yep.
The coin, the coin, the
right.
So you're not supposed to take those breads out of its place either.
Right.
How much of those breads do you take out to violate the Torah? So, Kumash Malan, the Gemara says a kezayis. Right? After linyan yotzei hu bekezayis. So it says, "Bola mifshat mehod the lechem aponim ushtei lechem shi'uran beotzah Shabbos kugugeris." Right. So then we have our answer according to what we said before. Removing the korban pesach on Shabbos violates chotzas korban pesach with the kizayis, but doesn't violate Shabbos until you get to a grogeris. But then the Gemara says, the Mitachinuch says, "No, v'dochei ashas." The Gemara says, "No." There's no raya that in order to violate Shabbos by carrying out the Shtei HaLechem or the Lechem upon him, that you have to carry a grogeres. It's no raya that this thing doesn't take over Shabbos. Hasam, techev shautzion chutz lazara, ve'enu b'shus harabim adayin nifsal. Aval hocha b'hadi adadi ka'asi. Wow, that's a nice chav. You get the difference? When you violate Yotzei by the Lechem upon him, you haven't violated Shabbos yet.
Right, you take it as soon as you take it out of the Heichal.
So it's not a Dabar Chashev anymore at the Kezayis. It's already Nifsal before I get to violate Shabbos.
Uh-huh.
But the Korban Pesach, I can possibly be eating the Korban Pesach in a place where at the moment I violate Yotzei, I also violate Shabbos. So maybe there, the Shear should be the same.
Right.
Now, do you see why this past Shabbos I mentioned, you were listening, this past Shabbos I mentioned about the guy who steals the wallet on Shabbos? He steals a wallet and he drags it along the floor and he doesn't acquire it until he walks out with it. He's a Talmud Chacham. Why did he do it that way?
So that he would be like what Kimle de Rabamine?
Yeah, Kimle de Rabamine. He's Potter and Tashlumim. He's hoping they won't kill him, but now I don't have to pay back for the wallet.
Right.
Because I'm Chayav Skila. And the halacha of Kimle de Rabamine applies even if you don't get the punishment. It even applies with Kares and Yom Kippur. Right? So but if he picked up the wallet inside the house, so he was a ganef before he
violated Shabbos.
He would be chayev in tashlumim. So here, do you see the difference? By the lechem upon him, the benchmark for passeling it, making it yotzei, happens no matter what before you violate Shabbos. Because as soon as you take it out of the azara, you violated Shabbos. You violated yotzei. But outside the Azara, which Tushar Nikanor, that's not a Rishus Rabim. Okay? So, but on Korban Pesach, it's very possible to in most cases, the minute you walk, you remove it from its makom, you could possibly be violating violating Shabbos. Okay, so that's the Nafkamina and
nice.
Yeah. Okay, so Aval Khan, Kivin Dover, Balav, don't saw. So okay, so it's a different thing. Look at the nine. See the nine? Look at above that, the yud, above the nine. Vine lav zehu dafka barishon hamotzio. Avalim la'achar shotzio, chazar zevotzio, eno over a lav zeh. That's an interesting thing. There's a lot of things like this. Once someone takes the Korban Pesach out of its place, then it's all bets are off. You can't have Yotzei Achar Yotzei. right? We don't say this, let's say, for a Kohen who's going to, let's say, a Beis Olam for a relative's Levaya. We don't say, okay, now you can go to others, other Kvaros. It's only Dafka, the Tumah that he has now. So there's Tumah Achar Tumah, right? There's Misareis Achar Misareis. If someone neuters an animal in one way, they're still violating the Torah by neutering him further. Kushavcha Tzuadaka. There are other examples of this. So there's no such thing as Hotzah Achar Hotzah when it comes to Karban Pesach. Once it's Hotzah, then you passeled it from anyone else being violating Hotzah. Okay, fair enough. Well, if he's that, now look at the next paragraph. Mayim nifsal biyotze eino over acharka chalav ze. Mikol shekein shen benifsal machmas davar acher, vade eino over balav ze. Right? What it means is that he found out after taking it out that in many different ways. From the Mishnayos, we learned them recently. Everybody who registered for this Korban Pesach wasn't circumcised. Turns out that the people that registered weren't Jewish, or the people that registered because of a glitch in Breira, the people who shechted there, they lost the Korban Pesach, and it turns out that it was something else was wrong, that he didn't end up being over. B'lav zeh, k'mo shemotzinu b'mincha da'af im nifsa l'machmas davar acher, eino over alav zeh d'chameitz.
So that whole Korban Pesach, for everybody in the Chabura, if I took it out, right? There were 9 other members of my Chabura, and I took it out, and I come back in. So that Korban Pesach is possible for everybody? In my chabura?
So that's not what he's saying here. What he's saying here is that only one person can violate yotze. Once it's yotze, you don't violate yotze again.
You don't violate yotze. Well, wait a second. So not just I don't violate yotze again, but the other
no one else can.
No one else in my chabura can violate yotze.
Right. But he doesn't say that apostles it.
So what does he mean by apostle? That's exactly what I was focusing on.
Kol shekin binifsal machmas dover acher, that it became apostle for a different reason. It became tamei, or we found out that everyone who registered wasn't circumcised or anything other things like that. Or it was registered for 2 people and it turned out that they both got so sick that they can't eat. Or their teeth fell out that afternoon, whatever. They lost their dentures, whatever else. So.
But if somebody walks out with the entire animal out of Yerushalayim and then walks back in and everybody's gone.
If they walk out outside Yerushalayim, then that's become Bas Sadeh, it's removed from the Sadeh. Remember the Bas Sadeh Trefa? That's like the animal that stuck its limb out. If you take it out of Yerushalayim, that's a whole different psul.
Oh, okay, got it. But if you walk in the Chabura with it, you walk the back Chabura in,
doesn't
you're over allowed, but they can eat it.
Right, doesn't ruin it for the other Chabura.
If you go back to the language in Yud, the end of the first sentence, he says, he quotes the Rambam, and he says, "Ein motzi achamotzi ba pesach shekevan shoha itziyo arishon nifsal." What's nifsal? Pesach's not nifsal. That guy was over on this mitzvah, right? So he's got a problem. But what do you mean by nifsal?
Maybe if somebody else were to do
maybe,
it.
Maybe he means kes meher makom din zemi Yerushalmi ve'enom tachas yodi.
Maybe I got to look at the Rambam.
You mean the second person who does it doesn't get malchus?
No, he's not talking
about the ode.
The whole sentence is, Lav zed dafka b'rishon hamotzio, but if after I took it out, somebody else took another piece out, is not there's no problem because when I took it out, something was nifsal.
The chinuch says, I don't know where he got this. He says, "Vaday isa kein beiza mechilto tosefta." So amazing. He says, I don't have this Yerushalmi. Imagine that the Minchas Chinuch didn't have a Talmud Yerushalmi. So here in the notes, it says, Yerushalmi Sham. Okay.
I'm not sure what's Nifsal, that's what I don't quite understand. Because I was going to say that it shows you the power of sort of inherent in the Pesach of Kol Yisrael Arevim, right? We're one family, because that's what it's all about. We're one nation, we're one family, that's what the Pesach is all about. Therefore, that's what I, you know, that's where I was going. But this is...
Yeah.
I don't know what I mean.
Yeah, all right, he says at the end, I have to see if there must be a Mechilta or a Tosefta where he got this from. Okay, I just want to say that through the rest of this, the Chinuch discusses Zorek, Moshit. You know, we were just doing, Hotzah and Hakira and Hanocha. But, you know, there are other prakim in Maseches Shabbos, you know, this Perek HaZorek, right? Violate this by throwing the Korban Pesach out, or Moshit, meaning, you know, just handing it with your hand and stretching out your hand. And putting it in a basket with a big stick, right? Remember that the you know, like the pizza server. Remember that picture in the you know, the guy who served the kid with that big server. So Maseches Shabbos. So he goes through a lot of these and towards the end, which is very typical, but gets a little detailed. So okay, Chevra, I don't know where the time goes. It's like, remember Carol Burnett used to say at the end of the hour how, you know, we had this time together, right? So it's very nice. I look forward to starting Mitzvah 16 next week in Mitzvah Hashem. And have a great week, everybody. And
the names, Rabbi.
Yes, we just get started when it's time to say so long.
Rob, you have it?
Yeah.
Go.
So here's someone. Hold on one second. There's someone new. Chaim Yechiel Michal Ben Rochel Rivka, Yitzchak Yosef Ben Dina Yechevit, Yitzchak Levin Yosef, Avram Abba Ben Shendo, Reuven Ben Malka, Rochel Baslulu, Aaron Ben Pesahena, Yaakov Ben Chaya, Israel Ben Sar Esther, Moshe Hakon Ben Miriam Rus, Esther Mindo Bat Gittel Miriam.
Hey, everyone should have a full shlema and Sarah Gittel
Pascha. Shlema, Shkayach.
Mazel tov to Ilan Schnitzer, who just got married.
Yeah.
He got married already? Oh, wow.
He got married tonight. He walked down to the song that was written for Victor.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.